Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you here. A warm welcome to our service this morning at Wesley Methodist Church. Particularly a warm welcome to our visitors as well. It's lovely to have you with us. My name is Philip Garside. I'm a lay preacher and I'm a member of this congregation. Today is the 20th Sunday in the church season of Pentecost. It's also known as Ordinary Time, which stretches from Pentecost Sunday right through to Christ the King Sunday towards the end of November. This morning we're going to be seeing if a camel will go through the eye of a needle, so there'll be a little bit of an experiment later. The safety briefing. In the case of a fire, should the fire alarm sound, walk out quickly through the exit doors to the assembly point in the car park. Don't assume it's a drill. Now the exits are here and here, one there and the main entrance. Not that way. Call 111 and report the location and type of emergency. Remain at the assembly point until instructed otherwise. Don't get into your car and drive away, as there'll be people assembled in the car park. And don't block any fire exits. In the case of an earthquake, we drop cover and... thank you. And evacuate the building once the shaking stops. We're in a medium tsunami zone here, so if there's a particularly long or strong earthquake, we should head up the hill to the War Memorial Park at the top of Taranaki Street. And don't stop to grab your belongings. With any children among us, then parents are responsible for the safety of their children, but we all keep an eye on them. Come now to our order of service and our call to worship. Would you please respond with the words in bold print? We are called, called together in this holy place. We are called, called as people of God. We are called, called to a time of rest from our labours and troubles. We are called, called to rejoice in word and song. We are called, called to have our hearts uplifted by your Holy Spirit. We are called, called to worship you, O God. Amen. And Philomena, could I ask you to light the candles for us? Thank you. Thank you, Philo. We join in our candle lighting litany. Kindle a flame within our hearts, O God, and let your light shine through. Kindle a flame within our hearts, O God, and let your justice shine through. Kindle a flame within our hearts, O God, and let your hope shine through. Kindle a flame within our hearts, O God, and let your peace shine through. Kindle a flame within our hearts, O God, and let your love shine through. Amen. Our opening prayer, let's pray. Gentle yet powerful, you are such a gracious host. Lord God of all creation, you are here in this place now. We stand here to worship you. Your Spirit is here with us. Speak to us this hour, so that we might become makers of your peace in our homes, communities, and the whole world. In your gentleness, guide us. Amen. Our first hymn is God Who Sets Us on a Journey, and was written by Joy Dine, Alan's mother. Please be seated. So I'm just taking this off as it's fogging up my glasses. I'm sorry. Our prayer of approach. And would you please join in with the words in bold print? Let's pray. Ever abundant God, we open our hearts to you this day and offer these truths. Today we live in the fear that encompasses us. Today we live with the prejudice that is right in front of us. Today we live with the ignorance that dwells within us. Today we live with the doubt that holds us back. Help us, we pray, that we will find courage in unlikely places, discover the world with new and gracious understandings, move to those places where love is needed, and have faith that you are with us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now words of assurance. Friends, hear the good news that God listens to our prayers, understands our concerns and holds us close in this time of confession and truth-telling. Know today that we have been given the grace and the courage to go into the world and spread this good news. Amen. And we come now to the children's time. So the church, you'd like to bring your son with us, Samisi. I'd like two other people too to come and help me with some things we're going to do. Come and take a seat along somewhere there where people can see you. That would be great. So this morning our Bible reading talks about something quite odd. Jesus says that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. So we're just going to see how easy it is to thread the needle. So first of all, I've got here some needles and some thread, and there's scissors in there. Philo, I wonder if you could cut maybe two foot lengths of thread and give people the biggest needles. That would be good. All right. Now, if you two can work on it, that would be great. So what we're trying to do is get a little piece of thread through that top of the needle there. You see the gap? Yeah. 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 Something that I find works, if you just put it in your mouth and wet it slightly here. Oh, look at that. Yeah, fantastic. Samisi has done it. Achieved. Whoa. B+, well done. And Philo. We're getting a bit older in our eyesight. It's not quite as sharp as it was. Yes, that too. You're allowed to choose a bigger needle. That curved one's got quite a big head on it. There we go. Fantastic. So we've now threaded a small thread of cotton through the needles. Now I've got something that's going to be a bit more challenging. We have here some camels. So if you'd like to take that thread out from the needle, okay, and see if you can fit a camel through there. Now see if our adults can do that as well. Yeah, there we go. All right, all together now, let's try and fit a camel through the eye of the needle. Okay, is it working? Do you one piece of, well, yes. We want the whole camel. Yeah. So we're struggling with that. Okay, there's another idea. When that particular reading was being translated from what Jesus would have said in Aramaic, then got written down in Greek, then it came to English, there's things, meanings change as they get translated. They thought maybe it was a piece of rope could go through the eye of a needle. So we're going to try that too. Put the needle through the rope. That's innovative. Hadn't thought of that.
Don't think that's quite what we're looking for, though. All right, can you fit that through the eye of the needle? No, you can't. There was another idea which came about maybe in the 900s, about 850 or so years after Jesus, that maybe the eye of the needle was actually a small, low gate in the wall of the city of Jerusalem. Only one problem with that, there never was such a small gate, so that idea doesn't work either. So actually, it's pretty hard to do what the Bible reading says. And the rich person realizes that and walks off. So that the message for today is, being on the Christian journey, a journey of faith, we may need to give up some things in order to become part of the kingdom. So look, thank you very much. That's been wonderful. If don't leave the things there, that's fine. They can just leave them on the steps. If you want to take the camel with you, that's great. Yep, we'll catch up with that later. So thank you. Give everybody a big hand for helping.
We're going to sing again, and Heather's going to accompany this on guitar. It's a song, the words are by Frederick Faber from the 1850s, and the tune is by our friend Jonathan Buchan, who's a composer of wonderfully singable, rich melodies. So there's a refrain, then a verse, refrain, verse, refrain. The verses have got quite a lot of words and go a bit slower because of that. So if you can pick up the tune, that's fine. Otherwise, just join us for the refrain. So Heather, maybe if we do the refrain first and then start again from the very top. I'm just going to get a drink of water.
Thank you. The reading this morning comes in the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. And I'm reading from the interpretation by Eugene Peterson, The Message, which is a nice and modern interpretation of the words, which are still pretty challenging when it comes to the part about the camel. So, to enter God's kingdom, as he went out into the street, a man came running up, greeted him with great reverence and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother." He said, "Teacher, I have from my youth kept them all." Jesus looked at him hard in the eye and loved him. He said, "There's one thing left. Go, sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth, and come, follow me." The man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear, and he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let go. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Do you have any idea how difficult it is for people who have it all to enter God's kingdom?" The disciples couldn't believe what they were hearing, but Jesus kept on. "You can't imagine how difficult. I'd say it is easier for a camel to go through the needle through a needle's eye than for the rich to get into God's kingdom." That got their attention. "Then who has any chance at all?" they asked. Jesus was blunt. "No chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. Every chance in the world if you let God do it." Peter tried another angle. "We left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Mark my words, not one who sacrifices house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message, will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles. And when the bonus, and then the bonus of eternal life." This is once again the great reversal. Many who are first will end up last, and the last first. Thanks be to God.
Jesus said, "You know the commandments. Don't murder, commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother." He said, "Teacher, I have, from my youth, kept them all." Jesus looked him hard in the eye and loved him. He said, "There is one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. And come follow me." Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our liberator. Amen. I've titled this sermon, Dimensions of the Kingdom. Dimensions of the Kingdom. A couple of weeks ago, I tried out some free templates for the Adobe Photoshop software that I use on my computer to design book covers and posters. What these templates let me do is to take a two-dimensional image, like a book's front cover, and then create the illusion of a three-dimensional image on the screen that looks like you're viewing the object on an angle, and can see the front one and the back, so see the front and one of the sides. Back in Form 3 Tech Drawing, we call this two-point perspective. And here's a sample of a flat cover, a book of two dimensions. Here we are. Now, using the template, I can add an image of the spine of the book, which in this case says sharing, and hey presto, we have a 3D image. I've been trying to figure out how to do this for a while, to make more eye-catching images of the books that I publish and sell online, I was so pleased with the free samples that I bought the whole commercial collection of templates, which are going to help me create some attractive book promotion images in future. As you can see on the front of your orders of service, the templates also let me create a mock-up of a boxed set of books. There are 9 volumes in this image. I just add an image for each book spine and the software does the rest. There are templates that let me create a boxed set of images for between 2 and 25 volume sets. This is especially helpful for selling ebooks, a series or sets, as there aren't physical printed books to photograph. Just quietly, I'm very excited about the templates and I wanted to find a way to use these three-dimensional images in a service. Let's see how this might work. The gospel stories about what Jesus said and did can usually be understood on several different levels. On the surface are the words in the Bible. The surface level of our reading from Mark today is fairly simple. A wealthy person wants eternal life and asks Jesus how to get it. Jesus says you have to sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor and follow me. The rich person can't bring themselves to do this and leaves. Jesus makes an exaggerated comparison to a camel going through the eye of a needle and ends with, "By the way, the first will be last and the last will be first." By itself, this summary has plenty of drama and points to ponder, but it's only the front cover of the book. We can tell the book is 6 inches wide by 9 inches tall, and now want to open it to look inside or even turn it over to read the blurb on the back cover. So 2 dimensions are not enough. We need to add a 3rd dimension, depth. We need to explore some more layers of meaning. William Platcher's 2010 commentary on Mark's Gospel in the Westminster John Knox series, Belief Series, has some instructive ideas. I found the book listed online as an ebook special and took a punt on buying it. I thought it would be a bit dry, but actually it's very readable and has lots of sound, stimulating things to say. Earlier in chapter 10 of Mark are stories about divorce and children. In verses 17 to 31, the topic is wealth. Jesus and his disciples are on the road, somewhere in the Judean countryside, close to the River Jordan, but not in Jerusalem yet. Do you notice that the man approaches Jesus as a good and respected teacher? There's no hint here that Jesus is thought of publicly as the Messiah. The man approaches Jesus in an excited but respectful manner. Then the man asks his question, "What must I do to get eternal life?" The man is not asking Jesus to give him eternal life and doesn't appear to believe that Jesus could give it to him. The man wants to know what actions he can take that will secure eternal life for him after he dies. An underlying issue is whether by our actions we can gain eternal life, can be saved or sanctified. This raises the issue of whether our faith or our works can save us. The letter of James explores this in some depth. Jesus doesn't give the man a straight answer. Jesus challenges the man by saying that only God is truly good, and then reminds him about all the commandments that he should be keeping. The man tells Jesus that he has kept these commandments all his life. It's interesting that the particular commandments Jesus mentions all have to do with our external actions when we engage with others. It's at least possible that the man's claim is true. Jesus looked him in the eye. I can imagine Jesus thinking, "Yeah, right." But then it says that Jesus loved him. Jesus could see that the man was sincere and showed him compassion. Now comes the crunch. Jesus offers the man a pathway to follow to gain eternal life. Sell all you possess, give it to the poor, so that the only wealth you have will be heavenly wealth. Then follow me. The man can't do it. And if we're honest with ourselves, nor could we. The man wasn't expecting Jesus to say that getting eternal life would be easy, but he hoped that Jesus would show him how to make it possible. Platcher says, the man had good reason to be shocked. Traditional Jewish piety would usually have said that wealth was a blessing from God, a sign of divine favour. The man leaves with a heavy heart. Clive Sansom wrote a series of poems in the 1950s called The Witnesses, which Drama Christi has performed in the past. The poems tell the stories of Bible characters meeting Jesus and the effect he has on them. In his poem about the man asking for eternal life, Sansom has the man say this in the second and third stanzas of the poem. "Sell all," he replied, "and follow me." An easy saying. He a carpenter's son, sacrifice nothing. And his man Peter, smirking, self-righteous. What did he choose? What did he lose? But some more nets and a boat share and trade in the market. It wasn't myself I was thinking of, ease and possessions, but the responsibility of wealth towards its dependents. What of them, if I had obeyed him? What of my servants? That's what I tell myself now, but do I believe it? Then, silent, I walked away, watching my sandals, while his voice, the voice of my heart, followed me homeward. In misery, I stopped by the lake, hid by the crowd wall. I heard him speaking of the kingdom of God, the camel, the needle. I think Sansom gets it right. The man simply has too many possessions and too much responsibility for his family and servants to leave them and follow Jesus. Jesus now shifts the focus from eternal life to entering God's kingdom. I wonder, are they the same thing? Perhaps two sides of the same coin? Seems to me that becoming part of God's kingdom is something we could work towards by being part of a faith community and doing the best we can to help others, and by being compassionate in our relations with other people. By loving God and loving our neighbours. By displaying the qualities of the volumes in our 9-book boxed set. Sharing, faith, journey, love, light, eternal, justice, hope, peace. What are other qualities and actions we could add in its place? There's space for 25 of them. To the amazement of his disciples, Jesus raises the bar for entry to God's kingdom too. We have to ponder the futility of trying to force a camel through the eye of a needle, getting a very big thing to pass through a tiny thing. Impossible. Or is it? Here's the next layer of meaning. The disciples, remember that's us really, ask Jesus, then who has any chance at all? Eugene Peterson gives us Jesus' blunt reply. No chance if you think you can pull it off by yourself. Every chance in the world if you let God do it. I'll say that again. Every chance in the world if you let God do it. I like to be in control, to assess the alternatives in a situation around an issue or an opportunity, and then to make a firm, prompt decision and move on. Make a plan, then stick to the plan. Letting God do it isn't my first instinct. How do you make decisions and move forward? What might letting God do it look like? We might spend some more time reflecting about our lives and the issues we face before we take action. I find that sitting still for a few minutes, closing my eyes as I mull over something, helps to make the way forward clear. It's surprising how new ideas pop into my mind if I let my thoughts drift. This is kind of like praying and kind of like meditating. It's certainly creative and helpful. We need to keep looking at the big picture, not just our congregation, but the wider parish and the community that surrounds us here, at our workplaces and our homes. How will what we do affect other people and the planet? What should we do more of? What should we do less of? Our hymns today reflect aspects of letting God do it. Joy Dine's hymn speaks about being on a journey and travelling light with few possessions holding us back. Faber's hymn, which we sang to Jonathan Buchan's wonderful warm melody, talks about the depth of God's mercy. Moving Through the Silence, which we'll sing next, invites us to follow the Spirit's lead and to see the world through the lens of God's kingdom. And Christchurch Methodist hymn writer Bill Wallace's majestic words, which we'll sing as the last hymn, encourage us to strive for a better world where there's peace, justice, freedom, and truth. A world turned upside down. A world where the first willingly surrender their place and share their wealth with those in need. Impossible? With God's help, we can make it happen. Amen. We're going to sing again, and the hymn is Who is Moving Through the Silence. Thank you, Colin.
let's share the peace with each other. And we'll do it by waving and saying the peace, or by elbows touching, or whatever works for you, but not hands this time. Our time for our notices now. Alan, thank you.
Thank you, Philip, for leading our worship again this morning. A challenging reading. It's always a challenging one. And I appreciate that you've had a high workload of running services recently. So thanks for that.
Hopefully get a break for about a month or so now.
Fingers crossed for that. So the notices are on the green pages this morning. A special welcome to our visitors. Mary, it's nice to see you back with your family. And other visitors, nice to have you with us. We can't have morning tea after the service, unfortunately, but we can have a quick chat as we're leaving. The rosters for next Sunday and the following Sunday are on the first page there. We've got Reverend Tavaki Manu taking the service next Sunday, and then Lupiti Whenau the following week. We've got a finance and resources meeting on Thursday for those who are involved with that. I think the young adults meeting that's mentioned there is just because it's booked rather than that will necessarily happen, but you can check with Rachel and Sarah, those interested in that. We've got leaders meeting Tuesday of next week on the 19th, and parish council coming up on the 28th. And we've got our 10 a.m. AGM on the 31st of October in Drama Christi. And for those of you who should be writing something for the report, it would be good to have that into the office on Tuesday. So that the office can get that all collated and sent out. So those of you who would normally write a report, please see if you can get that done. Just a general notice about pastoral care, that Reverend Samoti and Reverend Utamahu are very happy to deal with any challenges that we've got, so don't hesitate to contact them. Are there any other notices that people wish to give this morning? Thank you.
Are there particular joys to celebrate or concerns that we need to pray about?
Okay. Let's remember the family,
especially Brian. Yes, yes. Indeed. We come now to our prayers of intercession, our prayers for ourselves and for others. To the bidding, refine our thoughts, strengthen our wills. Would you please respond, guide us in your way. Refine our thoughts, strengthen our wills, guide us in your way. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray for all your creation, and especially for our world. We pray for our homelands and our spiritual homes. Refine our thoughts, strengthen our wills, guide us in your way. We ask for your blessings on our country, Aotearoa New Zealand, that there may be good governance, that people may experience fairness, justice, and peace. We also pray for our leaders, that they may have wisdom and vision. Refine our thoughts, strengthen our wills, guide us in your way. We pray for people of goodwill of all faiths. We pray for people who have no purpose or sense of direction in their lives. We pray for those who have no sense of being loved. Refine our thoughts, strengthen our wills, guide us in your way. We pray for people we know who are sick or unemployed or grieving. We particularly remember Brian Tevita and his family as he battles for his life, really, after a very serious accident. We pray also for our parish, for our families and our congregations. We pray that you will give us gifts of stability, wisdom, discernment, and unity. We pray for our children, that they will do well in their education and careers, and have satisfying, rewarding work to do.
Refine our thoughts, strengthen our wills, guide us in your way. Compassionate God, help us to share your love with everyone we meet, to be the voice for the voiceless, to bring hope where there is despair, to listen to others with respect. We pray for the work of Wesley Community Action and the other Methodist missions in this country, for Downtown Community Ministry and for Christian World Service. Refine our thoughts, strengthen our wills, guide us in your way. Loving God, please continue to exercise the power of light and love within us. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer, so Colin will lead us on organ. At this time, we would usually pass around the offering bags and take up a collection that way. We can't do that under level two, so if you have envelopes or gifts of money you want to give, please put them in the offering bag at the back of the church as you leave. We also acknowledge payments made by automatic payment and online banking. But let's bless our offering by saying these things together. They seem so little, and the world is so big and so overwhelming right now. Yet we offer these gifts to you, O God. Take what we offer and bless it for your mission of love. In a world of conflict and pandemic, may these gifts and we ourselves become agents of change and transformation. In Jesus' name of self-giving love, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing again, Deep in the Human Heart. Go from here to be the people of God. Go in the knowledge and love of God to tell the good news of a new covenant. And we share together the grace. Well, we've lived Christ's reign of peace and justice. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.